Life feels better when you know your loved ones are protected. Well, now you can have peace of mind knowing your family's future will be looked after for as little as €10 per month with Laya Life Insurance. Simply answer a few online questions, no medical required, and you'll get an instant decision. Join us online and you'll get a 10% discount and a further 10% if you're already a Laya Healthcare member. Visit layalife.ie now.
Insurance provided by IPTQ Life SA. Laya Healthcare Limited, trading as Laya Life and Laya Healthcare, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the best of the Indo Daily, your chance to catch up on the most popular episodes of the year so far.
Today on the Indo Daily, who is Mary Lou MacDonald?
A vote for Sinn Féin was for a different government, and yes, a government that would have the courage, the imagination, the energy to actually do things differently. A government that would put the citizen and families and communities front and centre, not big corporates, not the elites, not the well-networked.
So please welcome President-elect of our party, Mary Lou MacDonald.
You know, May 2022 is of huge significance to Mary Lou MacDonald, the president of Sinn Féin and her party. Because for one, the party won the largest number of seats in the Northern Ireland Assembly for the first time, marking what it called a new era for Northern Ireland and making Sinn Féin the largest political party on the island of Ireland.
This is not a time for theatrics. This is not a time for playing games. This is a time for grown-up, sensible partnership politics.
But May was also the 20-year anniversary of Mary Lou MacDonald's first election run for Sinn Féin.
Hello, I'm Mary Lou MacDonald. I'm an MEP for the City of Dublin and I'm Sinn Féin's candidate in the constituency of Dublin Central.
I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today I'm joined by Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor at the Irish Independent and independent.ie, to tell me more about the rise and rise of Sinn Féin's first female president.
I'm no different, I suppose, to any other working parent when you're in a job that's extremely busy. You very often struggle just to even do the basic things. So it's not like, you know, outside of politics, I have a very ordinary, regular life. Like, I have two children, I run my home, I have my friends, and I try and get a weekly shopping in. How much are the prawns?
Fionnán, let's talk about Mary Lou's political ambition in a bit. But when she started out, it wasn't with Sinn Féin, was it?
No, her political career starts actually with Fianna Fáil. That is the first party that she is a member of. There's little bits and pieces, as everybody does in college, attending protests and stuff like that. She's involved with a group called the Irish National Congress, which is kind of not Sinn Féin, but of a Republican hue during the 1990s. But in the late 1990s, she joins Fianna Fáil in West Dublin, where she has moved to. At that time, her husband is originally from the area. She joins one of the branches that is in Brian Lenehan's and the Lenehan family's heartland. She joins a fairly obscure, regular local branch where they talk about, you know, extensions on the Snugborough Road and public parks and potholes and so on and so forth.
And not a million miles from Bertie, of course.
Yeah, no. But she is there talking about Orange Order parades up in Northern Ireland, and she's interested in policing issues, and she's very definitely interested in Northern Ireland and the peace process. And she's joined after the peace process. So she is very much someone who has kind of been inspired by Bertie Ahern era Fianna Fáil, what was achieved quite swiftly, really, when you consider Bertie Ahern gets in as Taoiseach in June 1997 and the Good Friday Agreement is secured in April of 98, because Tony Blair is in as well at that time, so things come together quite well. But she would be on what was termed the greener wing of Fianna Fáil, the more heavily Republican side. She is of a Republican mindset, but she's quite firmly in the Fianna Fáil camp. Coming into 99, local elections are coming up that year, and there is talk of her running out in Castleknock and Blanchardstown. Chatter about Brian Lenihan, and then there are theories about why she didn't run. Was Lenihan somehow jealous of her and was worried about her becoming some sort of contender? Other people on the Lenihan camp would say no, she just didn't feel at home within Fianna Fáil. For whatever reason, she drifts away from Fianna Fáil, and by the time of the local elections in 99, she has left. And she's kind of out in the political wilderness for a while, not active with anybody. And then turn of the millennium, she starts popping up with Sinn Féin. People within the Sinn Féin movement would have known who Mary Lou MacDonald certainly was.
How did Mary Lou, someone from Ratgar, middle-class background, end up in Sinn Féin?
Because she did. And I know it's because people say that to me from time to time as to how that happened. The only thing I can say is I didn't necessarily plan it that way. But I suppose when I got politically involved, when I became active, I was looking for something real. I was looking for somewhere where you could actually make a difference. And Sinn Féin provided that space. And I think sometimes for people on the outside looking into Sinn Féin, they have a different view of the party than those of us who are inside it. So there's kind of a stereotypical thing, isn't there, around what a shinner is like?
And so can we talk about Mary Lou, the personal side of things? Because her profile at the time was one of a background of living in the leafy suburb of Rathgar, going to a good school, being university educated. And it was a mantra repeated over and over by her political opponents as somehow she was so wrong to be in a party like Sinn Féin if she has this background, right?
That is often thrown at her, I suppose, over the years, that there are inherent contradictions in the stances that she takes. You know, even to this day, when people look at her house up near Cabra, it's worth about £1 million, and that she is portraying herself as the champion of the working people. But yeah, you know, so Mary Ann Louise MacDonald, she's born in May the 1st, 1969, in Hollis Street. Mother Joan and her father Patrick, and he's a builder. And they live in a house out on Orwell Road in Ratgar. This is, when we talk about leafy Dublin suburbs, this is it. People actually know the general area now a lot better because just around the corner from the Russian embassy, about 500 yards up the road from where that is, and people would have seen protests. So they're familiar with the kind of area that is. Her parents actually, they separated in the late 1970s, and she and her siblings, her older brother Bernard and her twins Joanne and Patrick, they stay with their mother. But you know, there's still, you know, the well-heeled lifestyle, I suppose, is still maintained in that regard. Obviously, there is the formidable trauma of your parents separating when you are young. She attends the fee-paying Catholic Notre Dame des Missions school, which is out in Churchtown. She goes on then to read English literature at Trinity College Dublin. She does a postgraduate degree in European Studies at the University of Limerick. She's kind of going around working for different kind of quingos, like the Institute for European Affairs. She's working for an offshoot of ICTU. So she's kind of in that kind of advocacy academic space that's out there. It's not private sector, it's not public sector, it's kind of somewhere in the middle. And then ultimately she goes on to become a PhD student in industrial relations at Dublin City University. So she is studying and showing a very definite interest in things like European affairs, industrial relations, trade unions, representing people in minority areas. But again, there's not massive political activism, you would have to say, up until the point where she actually formally joins Fianna Fáil. And the reason she joins Fianna Fáil in Dublin West, she meets her husband, Martin, inside in a pub during Italia 90. It's the most memorable period of many people's lives, and she would have another reason for that. Peter's Pub down off Grafton Street. And they get married in May 96 in the University Church on Stephen's Green. They're living up near Arbor Hill. They buy a house up there at the time, and then they move to a larger house out in West Dublin. He's originally from the Strawberry Beds. So they're living in a classic Celtic Tiger era new housing estate. We can't identify anything that at any point you could describe Mary Lou McDonald as working class. She's very much middle class throughout her life.
And yet there she goes and joins Sinn Féin. And what was her progress like within the party? Was it a very progressive rise to success, or did it take a while?
Again, we were talking about her Republican inclination. She says now about how the hunger strikes in the early 1980s affected her greatly and impacted upon her. Yet she doesn't join Sinn Féin either when she becomes a teenager, or indeed for another 20 years or thereabouts. But actually, republicanism is actually in her family's blood. Her granduncle, James O'Connor, he was active in the IRA during the War of Independence and the Civil War 100 years ago.
My mother in particular had a particular background in that an uncle of hers was shot in the Curragh camp in December 1922. He was one of seven men executed on that day, one of 77 in total executed by the state. And my grandmother, Molly, although she never spoke a whole lot about that, that would have been a very, very defining piece for her in her very young life. She was only extremely young, I think four, when he was shot.
And he was actually executed, aged only 24 in 1922 by the Free State Forces. There was a series of operations down in Kildare where he was based at the time. He was involved in the Rathbride column, and they were active in the area in Kildare. They were caught with weapons, and they were a number of them were subsequently executed. A couple of them were spared on that occasion. He's originally from Banshee in County Tipperary, and he writes to his mother from the Curragh camp on December 19th, 1922. And he says, "I'm going to Eternal Glory tomorrow morning with six other true-hearted Irishmen." It's not completely at odds that she would join, that she would fit in with Sinn Féin. The middle-class upbringing thing is very much the jarring thing when you're joining a party that is very much hard left. And at that point, in the early 2000s, Sinn Féin are still into nationalising the banks. Well, maybe if it happened at the time, things might have been avoided subsequently. they're into higher corporation tax, very much higher personal tax. So they're far more left-wing than they are now. They've gradually come into mainstream economic thinking, and they are also basically coming off the back of the Troubles, when the IRA is still in existence and Sinn Féin is still the political wing of the IRA, and there are all those question marks about senior political figures in Sinn Féin also being on the IRA Army Council. So there is an indisputable link between Sinn Féin and the IRA at the time when she is joining, albeit it is in a post Good Friday Agreement era. She joins Sinn Féin again out in Dublin West because that's where she is based, and she rises up through the ranks really swiftly. I mean, she goes on the party's Ard Córa, their national executive quite quickly, she becomes their area rep. An area rep is basically a candidate as such that you will run where you don't have a sitting TD out in Dublin West. And she becomes active in local groups. You start seeing her pop up on the radar for Sinn Féin nationally around about 2001-2002. We have a spate of referenda. At that point in time, she is the party's director as such for the 2002 the abortion referendum. There's also the Nice Treaty referendum. Again, she's interested in European affairs. So she's developing a profile for herself at that point in time. So come the 2002 general election, Gerry Adams is and Martin McGuinness are present south of the border quite a bit because they're trying to promote the party, and that was a big breakthrough for them. Sinn Féin, it is thought going into that election, is could win anything up to 8 to 10 seats, and people are identifying their targets of people who are now familiar names: Angus O'Snoddy, Martin Ferris, Sean Crow. You know, who won seats and have held seats subsequently, because Caoimhín Ó Chualainn at the time is their only TDs out in the Republic at that time. Mary Lou isn't really on the list effectively of people who people reckon are going to win. There's a lot of big beasts out in West Dublin at that time, particularly on the left-wing side. You've got Joe Higgins of the Socialist Party, very much a champion of the service charges campaign. Joan Burton of the Labour Party, who's kind of the middle ground on the centre. And then Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are obviously traditionally strong out there. So it's not really seen that Mary Lou is going to get across the line. Dublin West, coincidentally, is one of the electronic voting experiment constituencies that was used on that occasion. So Mary Lou does pretty well for a first-time candidate, but she's not really in the race for a seat, and she finds out in around about midnight that night of the election that she hasn't. She hasn't won on that occasion, but you know, generally happy with her performance. And it's viewed as, well, look, that's somebody that they're going to build for the future. I recall interviewing her at that time in the run-up to that general election, and talking to people in Sinn Féin at the time. They were very much enthusiastic about this young woman who was running for them out in West Dublin. And she was very different to a lot of their candidates. Their candidates tended to be kind of guys who had been involved in what they would call the struggle, i.e. they were in the IRA, guys like Martin Ferris, or they tended to be kind of community activists in working class areas. She was neither of them. She was articulate, polished, well-educated young woman. So she very much stood out at that time. You know, one wonders what would have happened had she stayed with Fianna Fáil ultimately, and she would equally have risen up to the ranks there as well, one would have to say. And you can see the roles that she takes on with Sinn Féin in terms of, you know, she's speaking on women's issues. She's very comfortable speaking at rallies and protests. She is chairing campaign meetings that they're having. She becomes their equality spokesman after that first run in a general election. She plays a part in the National Forum of Europe. Again, she talks in the second Nice referendum. She's again becoming a more prominent figure within the party. And all the time, when Gerry Adams comes south of the border, the person who is sitting beside him, it seems constantly, is Mary Lou MacDonald, the designated smiler as such, the person who had to sit beside Gerry Adams and smile and look happy. And there was always somebody who had to have that role. So it is strange in that she is somebody who has joined Sinn Féin only in the previous couple of years, and yet she is being rolled out that prominently. She is what people would call a truceteer, which the Harjaws within the Republican movement would refer to as people who came along in the peace process, Good Friday Agreement era, who weren't really there during the harder days of the cause.
You referenced earlier the anti-partition republicanism that's in her blood. So there is that sense of being part of something that she really believes in. But there has been some controversial moments arising out of that, Fionnán. And I'm thinking about the time she carried the coffin of Joe Cahill, for example.
Yeah, so Joe Cahill, veteran IRA man, and Mary Lou McDonald would have, in her early days, appeared alongside him at Sinn Féin events. And he was very much the representative of the Sinn Féin IRA old guard. He was seen as somebody very important within what is often called the Republican movement. And when people talk about the Republican movement, they mean Sinn Féin and the IRA. So when he passed away in 2004, she was one of the people who was carrying the coffin. Now, you know, it's not Republican funerals tended to be the coffin got passed from different people carried it as on the route along. It's not like a family funeral where you'd only have the six closest family members carrying a coffin across the line. So she was criticised for that at that time because that was seen to be condoning the activities of the IRA, and she was seen to be kind of a condoning what had happened during the course of the Troubles.
Would you support their campaign?
See,
the campaign of violence.
I support and recognise the right to meet force with force.
There's other controversies as well. I mean, there's her speaking at a memorial for Sean Russell. There's a statue to him still, I believe, in Fairview Park in Dublin. Prominent Republican figure from the 1930s, but he's also viewed as a Nazi collaborator due to his contacts with the Nazi regime at that point in time. So he's a very controversial figure, and anybody who is seen to be associated with any memorials attached to him because of his Republican views, it's also pointed out to him, well, hang on, this guy also had another record. So she does, there was, you know, a comment from Sinn Féin activists at the time, you know, she seemed to be never without a coffin on her shoulder at some IRA man's funeral. So there was a suggestion that Mary Lou was effectively having to prove herself within the Republican movement, politics alone, and making nice speeches at events about European and social affairs weren't going to be enough. She was going to have to show that she was fully on board with the activities of the Provisional IRA during the Troubles.
Now let's concentrate on 2022, Fionnán. And, you know, you cannot deny the power behind Sinn Féin. And many people will dismiss it as pure populism. But Mary Lou is an essential ingredient to this popularity.
To give the Sinn Féin leadership some credit, they do spot her talent as soon as she's joined. She is very much fast-tracked through the organisation, going on to become their European election candidate, their first MEP. That's really the big political breakthrough where they can see that this woman can bring us votes that other people from the traditional background cannot. And then ultimately, after another bad election in 2007, she ultimately becomes their TD and their Dáil leader from 2011 onwards. Gerry Adams, by that point, has moved his political affiliation to south of the border at a very much a generational shift from the older days of Gerry Adams being associated with the IRA to this new face of modern Sinn Féin. And she has a faltering start, though, let's remember. 2019 local and European elections, they lose two of their European seats. They have a really bad local elections right across the country. That's her first proper campaign in charge. They then have a bad British general election in 2019. So you're heading into the last general election in 2020, and we're all looking at it going, Sinn Féin are going to lose seats here. And Sinn Féin themselves were pretty much of the same mindset. They were by no means prepared for what was coming their way. They were dropping candidates a week into the general election campaign on the view that they were on the defensive and that they needed to just consolidate around individual candidates. And ultimately that swing comes their way about a week into the campaign, where for whatever reason, I mean, the main reason being that people looked at the outlook and said, well, we're going to get Fianna Fáil instead of Fine Gael after having Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil effectively in government together for the last couple of years. Not happy with that. Housing becomes a more prominent issue in people's mindsets. And this Mary Lou McDonald wave just absolutely takes off, and Sinn Féin ultimately become effectively the largest party, the best supported party in the state. So we're looking at them now saying, will Mary Lou McDonald become our first female Taoiseach and our first Taoiseach who is not from the Civil War parties of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael? So the hand of history, to paraphrase Tony Blair, is potentially on her shoulder in that regard. Their next campaign for the local and European elections, most likely they will come back as the biggest party, both in terms of European Parliament representation and at local government level. And that will have its own impact. So there are still a lot of questions that hang over Sinn Féin and Mary Lou McDonald, and how they would fare if they ultimately got into office. But at the moment, you're looking at her being very much the leader of the biggest party after the next general election.
My thanks there to Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor at the Irish Independent and independent.ie. I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was presented and produced by myself, researched by Tabitha Monaghan and Garrett Mulhall, recording and sound design by John Smith. Archive clips from independent.ie, the Belfast Telegraph, Sky News, TV3 News Archives, The Guardian, Sinn Féin's YouTube channel. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.
If you enjoy the Indo Daily, could you spare us 5 seconds of your time and vote for us for the Listener's Choice Award at the irishpodcastawards.ie/vote?